This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
After me. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
Hello everyone and welcome to With This Ring number 15. I'm your co-host Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host Cindy Everett.
And we are going through the GWCW greatest matches list, and we're coming up on the home stretch.
Yeah, almost so, the end of the year.
Yep. So this week we looked at matches from WCW's biggest pay-per-view of the year, Starrcade. Now, do you remember, we've done it a couple of times already, the backstory of Starrcade?
I was just going to say, as you were saying that, I should remember the context of Starrcade. Was it the Thanksgiving one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was like the competitor of Survivor Series?
Yeah.
So that's right.
They had had the show before.
They were being petty about.
And WWF was being petty about it, yeah. So,
okay. Yes, I do remember.
So we've gone over that enough that you have it down. So
sure.
We won't do it again. But then the next year, 1988, they still want to do Starrcade. But they're like, screw Vince McMahon and Thanksgiving. We'll do it in December. So from 88 through 2000, it was always like December, usually right around Christmas.
Gotcha.
So they figured, we can't have Thanksgiving, we'll take the other holiday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bigger, well, I guess it depends how you're measuring it, but.
Right. So, starting in 1988, which is when they started going to December, and this is, at this point, it was always the day after Christmas, the 26th.
Okay, Boxing Day.
Yes, Boxing Day. So they have, and we watched the main event of the first Starrcade December edition, and Ric Flair defeated Lex Luger for the WCW World Title. Well, NWA World Title time, technically.
Yeah, there's a lot of, even in WWE, there's too many titles and belts to keep track of. It's almost like participation trophies at this point.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a half-hour match.
Yeah, it was long.
What did you think about?
It was good. I'm looking at my notes. Lex Luger started strong, huge suplex. I know there was a couple suplexes where there was a lot of air time, so that was impressive. Obviously, Lex Luger had his booby dance.
Yes, of course. Going. One of his best offensive maneuvers, the booby dance.
Did he like do that at like key moments, or was that just like whenever he felt
I think kind of whenever he felt.
It seemed like after the crowd was amped up, he would do it and
get more
excited.
Riled up.
You can see certain body parts of his pretty well defined.
Yes.
In his ring gear.
Steroids grow muscles.
Oh, is that what's going on with that? I thought, maybe we can talk offline about
it. Well, it makes your testicles small.
Right,
it makes your penis get stronger.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I never took steroids.
Yeah, well, he's still alive. You said he's a nice guy. You could ask him.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of a personal question to start with. But yeah, no, I think I wrote, it was a really clean match. They're in the ring for most of it. It wasn't like a match there all over the place. They didn't end up in the bathrooms.
No, no, there was not a lady in the bathroom.
Oh, but Ric Flair, I don't think, I said it was pretty clean, but then Ric Flair did use the ropes.
Yeah, but that's, for Ric Flair, that's a clean one. Like,
what's the most ridiculous Ric Flair? Starrcade.
Starrcade, well, he loses to Eric Bischoff in 1998.
Really?
Yeah, after like the whole storyline had been Eric Bischoff fired him and then brought him back, like, didn't want to bring him back, but had to. And then, like, they had, I think the week before, Eric Bischoff made out with Flair's wife, like, against her wishes.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and then they, you know, to pay this all off, they have Eric Bischoff beat Ric Flair.
Okay, all
and then,
right.
I mean, the next night, they do it again, and he wins. But, like, the pay-per-view is what is more memorable.
Right, yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
I guess in that context, this was a pretty clean, clean win for him. But yeah, no, it was long. It was entertaining.
Yeah, I really liked it. It's kind of like a really good look at Ric Flair from the 80s and like That's how true. He could just take, like, Luger's good here, but he's still really young in this business and stuff. So it's a lot of Flair, like, just walking him through and making him look like $1 million.
How old was Ric Flair in 1988?
He was spry 41, I think.
He was 41 in
39.
I was going to say.
39, though.
He was 39 in 1988?
Yeah, he was born in 49.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so yeah, he turned 50 in 1989, which is like,
oh my,
some people consider it like the greatest in-ring career of anyone.
I must have been off by a decade. Like, I thought he was like in his 30s in the 80s.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, because he
turned 30. You said 30. He was 50 in 1988.
No, 40.
Oh. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Still, it's tracking a little bit older than I would have thought.
Yeah.
And also, like,
maybe, he always looked old, also.
Yeah.
Like, even, like,
when he had that, like, bowl cut, he still
looked. Yeah, and even, like, in, I've seen, like, early 80s matches of him and stuff. He still kind of looks.
I mean, I know he old. Was a stolen child, and then he was 40, but what did he do? Like, how did he, like, get started? Did he start wrestling in the 70s?
Yeah, he was from Minnesota, so he got into the AWA, which trained a lot of wrestlers, and then he got in a plane crash in 1975. It was just starting to get, like, big, and then he was out, like, a year after that.
Okay.
But then came back. Even better.
I'm sure there's a WWE documentary about
him. Oh, yeah.
I actually think we maybe watched part of one.
We might have. Probably. I'm sure there was one on at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We can do a Ric Flair deep dive at some point. I thought we already kind of have.
Yeah, it's kind of... Doing this is pretty much a Ric Flair
deep dive. Good point.
It's trying to... I think that's one of the things with when I'm making the list is like, yeah, I'll have a lot of Ric Flair matches high, but I don't want to just give him all the top spots, but it's going to be...
There's some good non-Ric Flair matches, but he'll be in a lot. Okay. And next was the Battle Bowl, Battle Royale from 1991. You can explain this one, because I don't really quite...
Okay, so...
It's like a precursor to War Games, kind of.
There's two rings, but really, no, it's...
Okay.
So, what they had the whole night was called Lethal Lottery Tag Matches.
Lead the Lottery?
Lethal
okay.
Lottery, where they pick two names, that's a tag team. Pick two more names, that's a tag team. And they'd go, and every team that won got to go into the Battle Royal.
Okay.
And in this Battle Royal, it was different because of the two rings. So once you were tossed out of the first ring into the second ring... Then in the second ring, you could get tossed out and eliminated.
Yeah, that's not really... That doesn't get me excited.
Yeah.
It didn't really... It was kind of awkward, too, as they kind of filtered over. And then, did they do this format again, or was this a one and done?
No, they've done it a few times. And they're really... This is, like, a really bad Starrcade, because I like the Battle...
Why did we watch this one, then?
Well, the Battle Royale, I think, is good.
Oh, okay.
But, like, the whole show... Because there's no... It's all just these, it's 10 of these Lethal Lottery matches, which...
Gotcha.
It's, like, a good idea for 3 matches maybe on a card, but the whole thing, it's just because... So none of the matches are really good, because there's no, like, feuds behind
them. Right, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's all random, just all one-offs. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot of matches to sit through. And then the Battle Royal, which I like, I think as a Battle Royal, it's pretty good, but... And there's the list of guys in it are pretty, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I was looking. I didn't write down all their names. I know Sting and Luger.
Yeah, I mean, so like Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Dustin Rhodes, Jushin Thunder Liger.
I like Jushin Thunder Liger. He's growing on me.
Lex Luger and Arn Anderson, Ricky Steamboat, Sting, Vader, the Steiners. I mean, it's pretty.
Kind of got the who's who.
Yeah.
For that point in time, 1991. I had Liger had some good moves.
Yep.
Yeah, so Luger's the last guy left in ring one. Oh, right. I also had in my notes, but I remember this now, the split screen they tried to do with the camera, that did not work.
Good. Yeah, that's, and WCW would always do that whenever they had like something like this. They would have, and it's so annoying because the two screens would be like a third of the TV screen total.
Yeah.
Because then they have like their logo underneath and around it, which
didn't seem like a good use of space.
No,
on a TV screen. Was it WCW when they also had like the bird's eye view?
Yeah.
Because that also didn't really.
Not yours thing.
No. I don't mean to sound like such a downer, but
no, I think there's a lot to be down
about. It's a lot to criticize about WCW.
And then
it's all good though. I'm still enjoying watching these.
And then we went to the next year, to 1992.
I got a run of Vader matches.
Yes.
One of your favorites. This is Sting versus Vader.
For the King of Cable tournament final, which they had like, it was like a different idea. Like over the fall, they just had this tournament on their TV shows, but then they had the King of Cable final, not on cable, but on pay-per-view.
Well,
probably would have been a good thing to have like the last Saturday night show of the year or something.
Right. Well, you got to make that money.
Yeah. So this is Sting and Vader. It's the second time we've had this match.
Really?
These two guys. Yeah. The first was the Great American Bash where Vader just kills him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what did you think about this match?
This was pretty good. This was a lot of moves off the ropes. I was kind of surprised that Sting was able to suplex Vader.
Right. Suplex and slams him then.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this is Vader didn't have his headgear in the beginning. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. He just has his do-rag instead of his massive helmet.
Oh, yeah, then I said Vader gets Sting in a kneeling submission move that looks like yoga. I can't quite remember that one.
Yes, I think it was a reverse sharpshooter sort of thing, I think.
But no, yeah, Sting won this one. I don't know. I don't have that. I have more notes about the next one. Okay. I think I'm getting them confused.
Yeah.
Because I remember Vader bouncing on the ropes a lot, but I think that was the Rick
Flair. I think he does it in both of them, kind of. Like, it's really good. It's, you know, it's like Sting just keeps waiting for Vader to make a mistake because that's the only way he could, like, take advantage. But when he does, he throws him with a German suplex, which
is
crazy.
Yeah.
Because 450-pound Vader just landing on his neck.
So 450, how much does Sting weigh?
I think it was always like 275 or so.
I know that Vader would have to probably help facilitate that.
Right.
But can't just be 450. I know. But I'm thinking like 450 pounds of dead weight would be pretty impossible for anybody to haul over. So, but that was good. I guess I definitely remember the next one more.
Yeah. So the next one is the next year at Starrcade. Again, Vader versus
Ric Flair.
Yep. So this is the notable pay-per-view debut of Charlotte Flair.
I was going to say, this is the long, drawn-out video beforehand. They really
Mean Gene at Ric Flair's house. Where he's saying goodbye to all his family because Vader's going to kill him. Then they have Ric Flair and Mean Gene in the limo talking about his career. And then they get to, and they show clips of Vader like training throughout the day also, like arriving in his Chevy and
with Harley Race. Yes. Why was this like a long, like running feud? Or
Why
did they make such a big deal out of it?
Kind of. It was actually, they were setting up Sid versus Vader for a while, and then Sid and Arn Anderson got into a real fight in London where they almost killed each other
for real.
Like they were stabbing each other with scissors and stuff. Yeah, so they were they like got in a drunken bar fight basically.
Okay.
So they were both like almost dead.
Yikes.
So Sid couldn't be champ. They ended up actually firing him.
I was gonna say that name doesn't sound familiar.
And then so they kind of needed to set up something quick, because this was like November.
Gotcha.
Because they had shot like a Sid turning on Vader angle already.
Gotcha.
So they were just able to plug in Ric Flair real quick and make it worth Ric Flair's career so that he's involved in it and stuff. So.
Gotcha. Oh yeah, they really made him seem like he was involved.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his career on the line in his hometown.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of retirement matches that we've watched.
Right.
But no, I like this one. This is, Vader does a lot of bouncing on the ropes. Vader, I remember, holds him up over his head for a long time and then slams him down. That's a little bloody, which is not my thing, but
see bloody
Ric Flair mouth.
Yeah. It's
of course, the chair is lethal.
Yes, and this is when they, it's not a metal chair, it's just like the big old plastic.
Oh, that's right, hunk of
molded
chair.
Plastic chair.
Mm-hmm. There, it Flair bites him?
Yeah, he bites him at a point.
Okay, that's what I thought. Well, sometimes my phone autocorrects and I'm trying to watch. Yeah,
he bit him and then like did his like quick punches to the forehead.
That's right.
Yeah, I think this is just like, it's Vader just dominating, and then like Ric Flair gets these little flashes.
Yeah, that's true. I would agree with that. And then Harley Race kind of interferes in this at the end.
Well, they also kind of tied it in, like during the announcement, because the first Starrcade was the 10th Starrcade, and at the first Starrcade it was Ric Flair versus Harley Race
for
the
title. Oh, so Harley Race is a wrestler.
So yeah, so it was kind of like,
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Like, he went to Vader to avenge Ric Flair. Gotcha. He lost to Ric Flair at the first Starrcade.
Wait, so Starrcade started in 1983?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the first 4 years, it wasn't on pay-per-view.
Gotcha. So no one, have you seen that match?
Yeah. Yeah, they taped them all, and then, like, they showed him on closed circuit, like, in the WCW Jim Crockett area of the country.
Your accent's coming out.
Yeah.
What, Yeah, I guess we don't have any ones that are that early. Was it not as good, the Ric Flair?
It's okay. Like, that's the same card with the Ric Flair, or Roddy Piper, Greg Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
Match. So it's kind of, it's good, but it's also, it has the worst guest refereeing ever, where this guy's just clumsy and doesn't know what he's doing, and then the final spot of the match involves him getting involved, and he totally messes it up. So outside of that, it's a really good match, but.
Gotcha. Yeah, so Ric Flair obviously won. Kept his career.
And it's not like he, you know, slaps on the figure four and dominates Vader. It's like a fluky. He does go to the leg that he had been working on, kind of, and just like chop blocks him and turns it into a roll up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I liked it. Real quick, we're going to take a break to talk about the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Check out our new PTB Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logo on great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Just go to www.tpublic and type PTBW in the search.
December's Special Sunday series has the return of Marty Sleaze. Marty and Jerome from PWO continue their five-part series counting down their 25 best TNA/Impact matches of all time, with part 3, matches 15 through 11.
On the newest NWA Saturday special, Scott and the Doctor are in with Scott Kidd and Callum McDougall to discuss the legacy that is NWA's November-December tradition, Starrcade.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. It's a big topic.
Yeah. On the newest episode of the main event, the Trio of Terror preview TLC, then discuss their thoughts and analysis of 2020 in wrestling. That should be interesting. Yeah.
On a special episode of NWA Crock and Roll, the guys check out some matches from Epic Supercars that took place in September 1985.
On episode 565 of the Place to Be podcast, Scott and JR are joined by Rob Hawkins to live watch the 1991 SummerSlam Spectacular.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network.
Check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed with some great shows that include The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, The Great Debate, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, A Piece of the Action, Making Mount Rushmore, Blockbuster Rewind, and so much more. Subscribe today.
And while you're at it, subscribe to a pair of tremendous podcast feeds. First, the Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position is the home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, The Journey Through Infinity, and more.
Also, check out the new North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. It's the official home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, The Gang Gets an Always Sunny Podcast, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, TNA Never Dies, Shrink Wrapped, Rank and File, and more.
And make sure to join our rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture.
We're coming down to the home stretch of our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have until New Year's Eve to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board.
Be sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Facts Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Polly's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey.
And if you're doing a little online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. While you're there, pick up a copy of longtime listener Adrian Cotton's second book, AWO Big Time Players, Episode 2, Continuing to Grow. It's a vivid description of the second episode of the Alpha Wrestling Organization's program, Big Time Players, and it's available as an ebook and paperback. You can get both episodes 1 and 2 in paperback form for $15.98.
So, as we continue on, we had a nice little thing going where we had Ric Flair versus Lex Luger. And then Lex Luger was one of the final guys in the Battle Royal versus Sting.
Yeah, a little bit of a through
Sting
line.
Sting versus Vader. Oh. Vader versus Ric Flair. And then 1994 comes and the main events suck.
Really?
Pretty much. The rest of Starrcade, yeah, they're all pretty bad. Well, 95's not bad, but that's kind of a weird pay-per-view altogether.
What happened in 1994?
Hulk Hogan came in, basically.
Okay.
And yeah, the 1994, it's him versus Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Brother Brutai, who turned out.
Oh, yeah, the guy who was the mask. What was his name when he was...
Well, Brother Brutai and then the Butcher.
No, what were they calling him when he was just like the random attacker?
Mask. He was just like the Masked Man.
Like the Masked Singer.
Yeah, so it was a giant alligator.
That's when Sting had to fly from Chicago to Cedar Rapids.
Yes.
To figure out who the Masked Man was. All right, sorry. So that was 94,
where it was skipping that year. And that's kind of, 95 is kind of where the change in the company came, where they got all this young, different, new, young talent to be eventually the cruiserweights.
Gotcha.
And basically WCW pay-per-views in general just became the first hour and a half is good because it's the wrestlers. And then the rest is the old guys who
gotcha.
Are going to stink it up, namely Hulk Hogan.
Someone's a little biased, it sounds like.
Well, I mean, his heel run is very good. Entertainment, but not match-wise.
I gotcha. Yeah, so it's... Okay, so you like the guys that are now kind of coasting.
Right, yeah.
Versus the ones that need to try hard and put on a good show.
Right.
Okay.
So, speaking of guys like that...
Yeah.
1995, we see Eddie Guerrero take on Shinjiro Otani.
Yes.
Who is with Sonny Ono, as all the Japanese men are tonight.
Really? Okay.
So, what they made this was...
Yeah, I remember writing this kind of comment, like New Japan versus WCW.
Yeah, so they have the New Japan versus WCW.
Okay.
The World Cup of Wrestling.
Okay.
7 matches, which eventually, of course, WCW wins.
Is it like best of 7?
Yeah.
But is it, it's not only World Cup, it's just versus one country.
Well, yeah.
It's more like a World Series, because you have 7.
True.
Well,
but it's not, it's still,
No, I think it's more like the World Series, but.
So this was... Yeah. A really weird pay-per-view, though, because it is... So it's right after the start of Nitro, and they barely mention this tournament and Nitro's leading up to it. So it's... Like, they only were really pushing the Japanese guys coming in, and it turns out that Bobby Heenan sold them a half hour of television on the weekend programs.
Wait, for real, or...?
Yeah, well, storyline-wise.
Okay, sorry, yeah. Okay.
So Bobby Heenan was... Like, a very close with the Japanese.
Gotcha.
He was getting money.
Getting that yen.
Those kimonos you wear. So then they have this tournament, and it's kind of like they have the Japanese guys win against, like, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, all the technical wrestlers. Gotcha. And then Lex Luger and Sting come and save the day for...
Of course.
WCW and the US of A.
Okay, so that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, yeah, as we said, we watched...
A spoiler alert of this.
Tony versus Eddie Guerrero.
Right. And this is another good one.
Yeah, this was really good. It is match 5. Six. Yeah. Yeah. So it would put New Japan up 3-2.
Gotcha.
And then, yes, Randy Savage and Sting are able to win the last two matches, luckily.
Wait, do they have all seven matches in this one pay-per-view?
Or yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like they spread it out and they won a week.
Nope, seven matches right in a row.
They're not really, they're pacing off a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and this was a match where, like, at the time, Eddie Guerrero had just come in. So people were liking him, but he didn't really have any... that much
cachet,
of a
cachet, like a following or
Then Otani, this was some guy that they'd never seen in Nashville, and just they both come out and just have a like crazy high flying match.
No, it's really good.
That gets them cheering for he's from El Paso, but probably to the fans in Nashville they thought he was Mexican, but they still chant USA for Eddie Guerrero.
Close enough, yeah. Yeah, athletic, clean, I said in the ring. A lot of good moves. Otani's jumping all around. Yep. Dusty Rhodes' commentary was a little distracting.
They get into a conversation about why is it a German suplex?
Right.
And Dusty is just laughing the whole time about all the names of moves.
Right. And then, making some innuendo.
Yeah, so, and then in the end, Otani just wins on a roll-up.
I would say lots of rolling.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah, the end is like a bunch of different combinations, and eventually it ends with Otani on top.
So Otani, the New Japan wrestlers, they weren't actually a part of WCW. They're just more like visiting.
Yeah, they kind of like came for like a exchange couple students. Weeks. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah,
wrestling exchange students.
Yes, exactly.
Because I have not heard that name since.
No,
but like someone like Liger, like he was a part of WCW though, right?
Well, not really. He was always kind of just short term, also a month, maybe two. And because like Japan's kind of weird where they have like dedicated tours, but then you're off for like, so you might have 6 weeks on, 4 weeks off.
Okay.
So a lot of times guys would come to WCW in between tours.
Oh, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's worth the money.
That's true. Right. Yeah. We should go to Japan 1 year post pandemic.
Yeah, good match. Lots of technical acumen as well as the high flying.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to rank these this week.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I take that back for one of them.
So next we go to Starrcade 96. And
speaking
of Japanese versus Lucha Libre wrestlers, it's Jushin Thunder Liger versus Rey Mysterio Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both are. I mean, I think. I see more Rey Mysterio matches. It's not quite Rob Van Dam levels, but kind of reminds me of just like a lot of flip. He's better wrestler than Rob Van Dam, for sure. But, you know, like very distinct, very almost gymnastics.
Right. Yeah. And this is kind of like the guy who did it in the 80s versus the guy who does it in the 90s.
Oh, really?
As far as like the best high flyers.
So was it Liger in the 80s?
Yeah, like the late 80s, early 90s was when he was really coming up. So
he got a big power bomb, I guess. Just Rey Mysterio flips him up and Liger smacks him down.
Also, like 10 years ago, he was like, Justin Liger was thought of like being really small, even for like a cruiserweight, and here he's very big against Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Well, how tall is Liger?
Probably like 5'10 or so.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I had to guess.
Maybe Mysterio's a shorty.
Yes.
But, I feel like with Rey Mysterio, you know what you're going to get.
5'7" is his build weight.
Liger?
Build height, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, 1.7 meters.
Okay. Yeah. Did they have the conversion there, or did you do it in your head?
They had it there.
Okay.
With inches and stuff.
Yeah, I know. I have a hard enough time on the treadmill with kilometers. So, I think with Rey Mysterio, I kind of know what to expect a little bit more, and it's always going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. He has a high floor, especially if he's in there with the right guy.
That's a good way of saying it.
Justin Liger, I think he had just gotten over a brain tumor. I forget if it was...
Really?
August 96, and this is December 96.
What happened there?
It just says that he had headaches and found that he had a brain tumor, but that kind of led to him kind of changing his style a little bit, because in this match he doesn't do anything, any like big dives or anything. He kind That's of true. Keeps it in the ring, kind of keeps him, tries to keep Rey Mysterio grounded. And I think this was like the point where he started changing his style a little bit more to like in rings things where he's not diving. And,
probably I mean, a good idea. Yeah. Was it, like how far in his brain was it? They had to like...
I mean,
well, I guess anytime could
have been. I mean, he was out for 4 months, well, so
yeah.
And I mean, he's fine today. I saw him wrestle at Bourbon Street.
You did
3 years ago? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's still wrestling?
Well, that was like his last American tour. He retired last year.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yep. I saw a Power Ranger wrestle at Bourbon Street.
Wait, he's a Power Ranger?
No, but he's kind of looks like.
Oh, he does look like a Power Ranger.
That whole style.
Right. And the outfits and the whole kind of thing.
Well, he was based off a... I forget if he was based off a anime or they made an anime about him.
Yeah.
Either way.
Right.
Yeah, that's like a lot of Japanese masked wrestlers are based on anime or an anime is based on them.
Yeah, either or. Gotcha. Okay.
And then we skipped over Starrcade 97, which...
Another Hogan one, and I'm looking at the little picture there. Yes,
it's Hulk Hogan versus Sting. It's Sting's, like, first match in 16 months against Hogan. It should have been, like, a total... Sting comes in and destroys him. Instead, they just have a horrible match. So, then we go to Starrcade 1998, where, again, it's focused on the more athletic guys, the Cruiserweight title in this case.
Yeah, you poo-pooed the main event in this one, too.
Yeah, it's bad.
Goldberg versus who in the main event?
Kevin Nash.
That's right.
It ends with Scott Hall using a taser on Goldberg.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. That's how they ended Goldberg's big winning streak. Yeah. Scott Hall has a taser.
Yeah, that's lame. Well, this match. Well, so now that they had the New Japan, now they have Latin World Order, right?
Well, this was... That had just started a few months. That wasn't like a different organization.
Okay, that's true. It's like a subset. So this is a triangle match for Kidman, Juventud, Guerrera, and Rey Mysterio again. So a little bit of continuity there with the Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And they're a part of something called Latin World Order. Can you explain that?
So Eddie Guerrero like did a thing where he was sick and tired of them always having the luchadors just fight each other.
Mm.
And he said that they weren't getting paid as much, and that they were working more. They had to wrestle every Nitro, every Thunder, and Hulk Hogan only had to wrestle like once a month if he wanted to. So it was kind of, at the beginning it was kind of interesting, and they were kind of making it seem like they might do something, but then it just got like, well, here's all these masked wrestlers that lose to each other every week.
Gotcha.
And then like, okay, there's Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. Those are like the only two
kind of crossover.
Like, and then Eddie Guerrero wanted Rey Mysterio to join. He didn't want to. So then they had like a match where if Eddie Guerrero won, Rey Mysterio would have to join. So he was a hesitant member of the LWO.
Reluctant.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, it just kind of fizzled out.
Right. Well, who went to Guerrero? He's not a luchador, is he?
Yeah, he is.
He wasn't wearing a mask.
He lost it to Chris Jericho earlier in the year. Obviously, as one does.
Does Chris Jericho still have it, or
he had it for a while? I mean, I don't know if he still has it.
Okay,
but no. So yeah, it's so the first one is Kidman versus Rey Mysterio and Juventud in a triangle match, and they have a lot of different moves, flipping moves, different team moves.
Yeah, I said that Rey Mysterio gets used as a battering ram
a
couple times. I also thought this one was interesting in the fact that sometimes when there's three-way matches, like one person just hangs out in the corner and it's like lots of little two-on-twos, but I do feel like all three of them were fighting each other at the same time.
Yeah, they had them all in most of the time. A couple times it was like two-on-one, but
yeah, but still. It wasn't like one person hanging back and just two people fighting.
Yeah, it wasn't the guy gets thrown to the floor, is outside for 5 minutes while two other guys wrestle.
Right, yeah. That's kind of what I was expecting, so it was good. It was I like the acai moonsault that Rey Mysterio did.
So
there's a couple moves that like jumps off the rope.
Yeah, there are a couple different springboard
maneuvers. Oh, that's what they're called?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Like you springboard off the rope.
Okay, I get it now.
So And then in the end, Mysterio hits Guerrero, and Kidman's able to roll him up.
Oh, yeah.
To win.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Eddie Guerrero comes out right near the end.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero tries to get involved. And then after the match, he gets in the ring and is pissed at both Rey Mysterio and Juventud for not being able to win the belt for the LWO.
Right, and so Rey Mysterio doesn't care.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio wants nothing to do with him. And then Kidman hears this, comes out, and challenges Eddie to a match right then. And Eddie didn't want to because he had his cowboy boots and jeans on. He didn't want to wrestle like that.
Yeah, I kind of stopped paying attention. And then you're like, oh, yeah. So I keep watching.
Well, it's weird how it just morphs into a match of its own.
Right, right. That's what I said. It's a lot of work for Kidman to do.
Yeah, I mean, the first half hour of the show, really, are two matches. And yeah, it's not like he was sitting on the corner during the triple threat match. No. He was just as involved as anyone.
What's the deal with Kidman?
He was like one of the top cruiserweights towards the end of WCW. And then he came to WWF for a while afterwards, but was still just kind of like cruiserweight level.
Gotcha. Yeah, I get that name.
He was married to Tori Wilson for a while, so he won in life.
Who's that?
Diva.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it was someone that most people would find attractive, but
it's not rough. Well,
I'll have to do a Google image search. Yeah, this was good. Yeah, the first match was good. Like I said, the second one seemed a little weird, but
yeah, it kind of comes out of nowhere.
What? Okay, so this, how many did we watch this week? Week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yes.
Okay. Are we going from lowest to highest?
Hold on 1 second. All right. Yeah, so how do you want to do it?
I'll go from lowest to
best,
I guess. The only one that I know for sure I'm putting last is that Battle Royale.
Okay. It's a hard 7?
That's a hard 7. A very firm 7. Oh, now my phone's trying to autocorrect. Doesn't know I want to do 7 first.
Well, here, I have it then. Here, if you want to.
No. Okay. And then I guess the Sting Vader match next is clearly I did not really remember a lot of it. So okay. Yeah, I liked the later ones that we watched. I don't know. See, that's the thing. Now it's going to be tough. The top 5, I feel like I can really look at this list tomorrow and change my rankings. It's because I like the 2 Rey Mysterio matches. I like those. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Maybe I'll just put the Vader Ric Flair one at 5. I'll do the Ric Flair Lex Luger at 4. I did like that. Well, okay. And then 3, I'm going to do Liger Mysterio. 2, the triangle match. Yeah, like I said. As you can tell, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. And then the first one, I'll do the Eddie Guerrero Otani one.
Oh, okay. It will be quite different than my list.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, I'll just go from the top because it's easier for me, what I know.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, one is Vader Ric Flair.
I think
that match is just awesome. And then right below it, I would have Vader versus Sting.
You do like your Vader matches.
Yeah, and I think Vader, Sting, I might like it, the match itself more, but like everything around the Flair match with him winning the belt. And
you like the video, like seeing Charlotte as
yes, seeing the Flair children.
It's always a little ridiculous.
Mean Gene making that long walk.
I was gonna say, I know you enjoyed the lead up and the whole kind of
right and
presentation
then,
of that situation. Yeah. That's fair.
And then, it's kind of tough here. I agree, the Battle Bowl was probably probably the weakest of the shows. So I'll put that at 7.
It was hard to like to pace something like that.
Yeah. And then
so you're doing like bottom, top,
you know, yeah, I'm trying middle. To figure out what
I thought I was trying not to
I think
do.
I'll put Luger Flair at 6.
Okay.
And then so 3, 4, 5. I liked Liger Mysterio the most, I think. So I'll put that at 3. I'll put the Guerrero Otani at 4 and the triple threat at 5.
Okay.
So yeah. A little different for
yeah
list.
That's okay. Like I said, tomorrow I'd probably change my mind.
Yeah.
I do like the idea. So next week we'll watch all our number ones, right?
All our number ones. Yay. And then since my list will be done then, I'll see how many of like the top 10 or whatever, you know.
Right.
Pick a number.
Gotcha.
That we can watch where that didn't make like top 10 or top 8 that we didn't watch yet.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
That sounds good.
All right.
Good stuff.
Sounds good. Merry Christmas to everyone. Merry Happy holidays.
Yes, happy Festivus.
Yep, Festivus for the rest of us.
Hope everyone has a safe feats of strength. And
Yep, wear your mask while you tell everyone your great or your grievances.
Or do it over Zoom. Yes. Because you couldn't do the feats of strength over Zoom. Well, we can definitely air your grievances over Zoom.
You could find a creative way to social distance and have a feats of strength.
Tug of war.
Yeah. That's all right, until next time, we'll see you get those ballots in.
Yeah, bye.
Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.